1 Corinthians chapter 11. Just going to read the first few verses of this chapter. We'll read a little bit more later, of course, as we get into the message. But once you found your place, please stand with me. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul the Apostle writing here, of course, to the church at Corinth, a local New Testament church with Baptist doctrine, meaning it's a Baptist church. Verse 1 says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Let me preach to you a message from this chapter, from that verse. The title is this: it's way more important than you think it is. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless tonight. Give me your perfect wisdom. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, this is not an exciting revival message, but God, it is meat that will change our lives. And we need you, Lord, to speak to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated, please. It's more important than you think it is. Now, I could probably say that to a lot of people out there on the street, or maybe they're just not really aware of what's in the Bible. But I'm speaking to Christians tonight, church members primarily. I'm certainly glad for our visitors, and I thank you very much for being here. And I know God will speak to your heart because it's His Word. So He'll do the work in your heart as well. But chapter 11 of the book of 1 Corinthians here is dealing with order in the church. This church, as a whole, was a very disorderly church. It had a whole lot of problems. Very many divisions, very many things. People were trying and doing things that were way off in left field, if you will, not doctrinally sound. And listen to me, whenever a church, period, begins to do things that are not biblical, there's going to be real problems.
Amen.
Now, verse 3 draws our attention to the divine order given here, and it's all throughout the Word of God, that regarding the God, Christ, the man, and the woman. The Bible tells us in verse 3 that God is the head of Christ. Now, understand something. Well, let me not jump ahead of myself here. Let's just see. Verse 3. "I would have you know, the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the man. And the man is the head of the woman. Now, this order is explained especially for the men and the women in the next several verses. So let's read the Bible tonight. Verse 4. "Every man praying or prophesying." Now that word prophesying there does not mean telling prophecies that have not happened yet. That means simply telling forth what God has already said. Okay? That's all that means. "Praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. If the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory for her, to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. Now, what does all that mean? Good question, huh? Well, I'm going to try to explain this to you tonight as logically as I can. It's more of a Bible study tonight, but you need to pay attention because this is more important than you think. To begin with, let's define this word head is in here a lot of times. What does it mean here in the Scripture when the Bible keeps using this word, the head, the head, the head, the head? Well, you could use another word that maybe help you see it a little bit better. That would be chief. Chief. The chief or the head is the leader. He is the authority. For example, chief of Indians. You have one chief in a tribe and you have a bunch of Indians. That chief, he's the head over that tribe. You may have also a company, an organization. You have what they call today the CEO. You know what that is? That's the chief executive officer. There's lots of officers and people, but there's a chief. He's the head of that corporation. Without a head, nothing gets done. Without a head, nothing would get done. Without a head, there would be no order. Without a head, therefore, consequently, everything would be chaos. So the head is the leader, the chief over a particular body or group of people. The head, now listen though, don't miss this. The head is also, however, responsible for the people that they are over. The head is responsible for the people that they are over. This is a very important part of the explanation. The head is responsible, number one, for leading the ones who are following.
Amen.
Now listen, don't forget this. Christ is the head of the man. The man is the head of the woman. This applies in every single one of them. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that Christ is the head of the church.
Amen.
Okay, so this is applicable to all of us. The head then is responsible for leading. Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He said, "Follow me." Well, if he said that, then he's going to be responsible to lead. And then the head is also he's responsible for to live the life that he's leading other people to live.
That's good.
The head is responsible to lead, but he must live the life that he's leading others to live. In other words, if Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," then we know that he himself lived a life that fished for men. It makes sense. The head is responsible to lead the ones who follow, to live the life that he wants them to live. And listen now, this next one is probably the most important when it comes to being the head. He's responsible to love them as himself.
Good. Amen.
To love them as himself. This is more important than you think. God is the head of Christ.
Amen.
Christ is the head of the man, the church. The man is the head of the woman. This order affects every part of your life.
Good. Amen.
This is very important for you to understand. Now, I'm going through this just briefly and quickly because I'm getting to something here at the end. But you've got to understand, the head then is the chief. He is the leader. But that doesn't absolve him of all responsibility. Quite the contrary, that puts all the responsibility right smack dab on top of him. The head. You know, then there's another part of this text that we just read that's probably a little bit confusing to you. And that's this thing about the covering. Look in verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Covered. Verse 5. And every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. Now, what's that about this covering? You got to understand a little bit about Eastern culture here. The Bible was written, the church at Corinth, they were over there in the eastern part of the world. America is in the western part. Our culture is completely different. To understand the Bible, you need to study.
Amen.
You need to study Eastern culture, Jewish culture. But in this case, these weren't Jewish culture. This was just Eastern culture. And in the Middle East, still today, married women wear some type of clothing that allows for them to cover their head. Now, I know it right off the bat, you're thinking Muslims. I knew it. I read your mind. But listen to me. I'm not talking about Muslims. Many times, ladies, they just wear a sash around their neck, something, and they can pull it over top of their head in public. That is a covering. It's not the whole thing, the whole whatever they call those Muslim thing. I don't even know what they're called. But that's not important because that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about even other parts of that aren't Muslim, that aren't Islam. This is just a culture of their people, a culture of their country. And this, all it is a public symbol. It symbolizes, listen now, their submission to their husband. Remember, he's the head. She is not. Now, at this point in America, I have got to stop and explain to you the difference between submission and inferiority.
Amen.
Completely different words. In the Bible, the woman is not inferior to the man.
Right.
No way, no shape, no form, no how, never has been, never will be.
Amen.
The woman is not inferior. However, cults such as Islam, they have corrupted this custom of covering the head, and they have made it corrupt to the point where it makes the man this big giant... How should I say this? He's like the chief, all right, but it degrades her down to just a property of his, a possession. Such as if you had a boat, or if you had a car, or if you had a bicycle, or if you had a house, or if you had a pair of shoes, something that you own, a material possession, to them, that's what all that covering means. That's why she has to cover her face. I'm not talking about covering everything with the eyeball. I'm talking about just covering the head.
Amen.
It is a symbol of submission.
Amen.
To her head, her authority. Now, it's not about being inferior at all. But that's unfortunately, that's how Americans see the Bible teaching when it comes to submission.
Yes,
ladies, listen to me. God made you different. Men, God made you different.
That's right.
Men and women, newsflash, are different.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank God, exactly. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that my wife is different than me.
Amen.
But we've got today, we've got equal rights. We've got women's lib. You know why all of that started? Because nobody wanted to understand and believe God's word. Because they took it out of context and they said, well, I'm not going to be any man's doormat. That's not at all what God had planned.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, Christianity, ladies, liberates you more than anything else in this whole world. Christianity, true Bible living, true living according to the doctrines of the Word of God, liberates all women.
Amen. That's right.
Liberates them. Not women's lib. Not everything. All of that is corruption.
Amen.
God's plan brings order.
Amen.
It brings purpose.
Amen.
It brings peace.
Amen.
It brings joy. But Americans look at it like some of you are looking at me. Some of you ladies especially. I'm telling you right now. When the wife learns to submit to her husband, she understands finally what her purpose in life is all about.
Amen.
Now, it's getting real quiet in here. I want you to look in verse 9. But that's okay, because I'm going to preach to you the Bible anyway.
Yeah.
And if you'll stop being rebellious and listen, you'll be much better off. Verse 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. God made us different. And God created you for that man. Not every man.
Amen.
Not any old man, but the man that He has for you. Now, if you'll do it God's way, He'll give you that man. He'll make your paths cross. He'll put you to the or man. Same thing for you. He'll give you that woman that He has prepared for you. Listen to me. There is nobody superior or inferior in that relationship. The Bible says you are one flesh.
Amen. Yes,
you are not superior and inferior, doormat. No, it's a bunch of baloney, malarkey, garbage. It's lies straight out of hell. That is not what the Bible teaches about marriage.
Amen.
Christianity liberates women. The women's lib puts you in complete apostasy from the Word of God. It puts you in complete blasphemy against what God teaches. A woman's God-given duties and, listen, and ambitions. God puts you in you, ladies, an ambition, a desire to promote your husband's welfare.
Amen.
Promote his welfare? That means make him a success. That means make his life better. That means to help him succeed. That means to be his biggest fan. That means to be his cheerleader. That means to be his best friend. That means to be his confidant. That means you help him succeed, and then the whole family succeeds. Don't you understand what God's trying to do? That's how it works. God puts in you, ladies, a desire to help your husband be better.
Amen.
I mean, after all, that's what God called you in the garden. A help meet for that man.
Amen.
Perfectly suitable. A perfect fit for him.
Amen.
And that's not inferior. Dear God, that's perfect.
Amen.
It's not inferior. That's not bondage. That's liberty.
Amen.
That's beauty. That's joy. But some of you are so full of this world's ideas that you're just going to let it go by. Listen, if you'd listen to me, this, by the way, this is more important, like I told you,
Amen.
Than what you think.
Amen. That's good.
Let me make sure I don't miss the other side of the coin. Every coin has two sides.
Amen.
That woman then has the right to expect her husband to protect her, provide for her, to love her, to counsel her, to have compassion and be tender towards her.
Amen.
You see, there's no inferiority here. There's nobody bigger or better than the other person. It is a perfect match, made in heaven.
Amen. That's good.
Now, some of you are looking at me like, preacher, what does this have to do with me? Hold on. See, that woman finds fullness of joy in her place. I mean, there's no better place to be than in the dead center of God's will.
Amen. That's right.
for you, ladies, it is to be a help to your husband and make him succeed. Push him, help him, encourage him, and then he, on the flip side, provides, protects, loves, helps, counsels, strengthens. It's a perfect marriage. Now, this only happens if, ladies, if you stop trying to be the head. This only happens, men, if you step up and be the head. Now, this only is going to happen in our... See, right, what I have here, and I know my church. I know we have people who just don't have this relationship. I understand that. But you do have people that you can influence. But in other words, you do have the grace of God that can give you another chance.
Amen.
Either you believe that or you don't. But you have the grace of God that if you didn't know this the first time and you didn't have this the first time and now things are not what they should be. But listen, you're saved now. You have a Bible here in your lap. You have a church that God's helping you understand what it should be like. You have another opportunity. You have the opportunity to find the fullness of joy in your place. And then listen, she finds her joy and he finds purpose. See, you know what? We don't need happiness and joy. We don't need all that stuff that women need. You know what men need? We need purpose. We need direction. We just need to be driven. We need to take pleasure in the fact that we have a purpose for living, that we have a wife who loves us, that we have children who look up to us, and we have a job or we have a career that's helping provide for them, and it gives us purpose. It gives us direction. And man, that's what we find our joy in, is purpose. And we love our wives and our children and we provide for them and it gives us purpose. And then she has joy because we're taking care of her. It's a perfect match. This is what God has for His plan, His order. The husband to be strong and directing. The wife to be receptive and dependent. You see, what the word submission means is not inferiority. It means dependent.
Amen. That's good.
It means dependent upon Him. Now, some of you who thought that I was just going to preach a marriage seminar tonight, Christ is the head of the man.
Amen.
Whether you're married or not.
Well, amen.
And now everything I just said about a husband and wife applies to Jesus Christ and you.
Amen.
You're to be submissive.
Amen.
You're to help Jesus succeed. How can I help Jesus succeed? Hello. Soul winning, testimony, living a life that glorifies God, not drinking of the devil's cup, not partaking of the devil's table. Hello, that's how you help him succeed. You reach more people so his blood can be applied to more hearts.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
You see, it's not just marriage. It's a perfect order for everything.
Amen.
Everything in this life. God was the head of Christ, is the head of Christ, not past tense, is. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Now listen to me. Therefore, everything Christ did, He was submissive. He was dependent. I think there's a word in the Bible that we use a lot called faith.
Yep.
You know what faith is, Johnny? Faith is when you're dependent upon your head.
Amen. That's good. Amen.
You know how a man glorifies God? By depending upon Christ for everything. You know how a woman glorifies God? By depending upon the head, the man that God gives her. If she doesn't have a husband, then she depends upon God. But there's a perfect order, and we get out of that order, we have total chaos.
Amen.
This is the natural way. Look at verse 13. Judging yourselves. He says, this is common sense. Judge in yourself. Is it comely that a woman praying to God uncovered? Now listen, what was happening in that church was women, and I'm going to preach to you women a little bit, but not you. But women had, in that church, removed all of their covering, and they were now standing and preaching like the men. They were now doing what they thought. Now, look, hold your place here and look over in Galatians quickly. Galatians chapter 2. And this is the verse that many times is taken out of context. Verse 28. Chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, that verse has been taken out of context.
Amen.
Greatly. Let me tell you, that verse is speaking strictly of salvation.
Amen.
Salvation. In other words, male or female, bond or free, Jew or Greek, we all get saved the same way. There's only one way to get saved, and that is to be in Christ Jesus, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. That verse only applies to salvation.
Amen.
But women in Corinth were saying, you know what that means? I'm equal with the man. I can be the pastor. I can lead men. Listen to me. That is false doctrine.
Amen.
That is wrong.
Right.
Again, not because women are inferior. Dear God made you too. You're not inferior. Quit listening to the lies of this world. God made you to be a woman. God made a man to be a man. You know what, ladies? Sometimes, well, let me put it this way. When you have a head to follow, and your whole job is to submit yourself to him, anything that goes wrong,
amen.
He did it.
Amen.
But we don't look at it that way, do we?
So,
get out of the way, I'm going to be in charge. Yeah, and then when that thing falls off the cliff, then it is your fault.
Amen.
It's the same way with Christ and the man. When Christ is leading, where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. Because it's him. It's not me. It's him. I'm submitting myself to him. By faith, I'm following him. If he leads me off the cliff, well, then there must be some reason that he wants me to go off the cliff.
Amen.
It's not my fault. It's not my problem. I'm just following my head.
Amen.
You see, in that way, I don't have to worry about where we're going. I don't have to try to direct and navigate. God's not my co-pilot. God is my God. He is my Savior. He is all in all. He leads, I follow. I don't have to worry about where I'm going. I don't have to worry about what turn to take. I just follow. That life's a lot more simple.
Amen, preacher. It's good.
But everybody wants to fight it. Everybody wants to tell God where they're going to go. I would never tell God where I'm going to go. Be careful. The natural way, even nature itself, teaches us. A man have long hair, it's a shame. A woman have long hair, it's a glory. Even nature itself teaches us that. There's a difference. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament that a man wear not that which pertaineth to a woman. A woman not to wear that which pertaineth to a man. Why? Because they're different. And they're even supposed to look different. That's the Bible way.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's not some kind of weird old-fashioned teaching. It's Bible.
Amen. Amen.
And the reason our country is in such a mess is because this order has been thrown out the window and replace with what we want.
Amen.
Parents, you may not have the opportunity, pay attention now, to have this in your life. But you have the opportunity and the responsibility to train up your children in this way.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
After all, don't you want to spare them all the heartache that you went through?
Amen. That's good.
You know what my job is as the pastor? Is to try to get beloved knuckleheads like you.
Amen.
To follow Christ.
Amen.
But I say that lovingly, of course.
Amen.
Because I'm just as knuckleheaded as you are, because I'm following Christ. Remember, what does verse 1 say? Be ye followers of me, even as I follow Christ. Right? So we all have the same directive, the same ordinance given to us. We follow the head. We are not the head. I'm the head of the woman, my wife, but I'm not the head of my life. Jesus Christ is my head. So that covering, now, let me go back to that covering quickly. That covering is nothing more than a symbol. Now, ladies in America, we don't use that covering because it's not part of our culture. In Corinth, Paul was trying to tell them, don't shed the covering, because then people are going to look at you, and it's a matter of testimony. You see, they had the culture there where women were submissive to their husbands, and Paul said, don't shed the covering. Don't act like you're equal to man now, because you're just giving Christianity a bad name. See, that's still why today women should have longer hair than men, because that's what the Bible says. Their hair is their covering. But men, it's a shame for men to have long hair. It's still in the Bible.
Amen.
Glory to God. Don't get upset. It's in the Bible. Ladies should have longer hair. Men should have shorter hair. It should be that way. The ladies were misinterpreting Scripture, like I read to you a minute ago. They were shining a negative light on Christianity. They were making the world think, so that Jesus Christ stuff makes women rebellious? Are you listening? I thought they said they were following Christ, and now they're up there acting like men. Well, my children ain't gonna have nothing to do with that. Are you listening to me?
Yep.
I thought they said they were following Christ, but they're still ladies. How come they're out there preaching and acting like men?
Amen.
Be good if y'all listen to me tonight. Ladies, you too. Christianity does not give you the right to act like a man.
Amen.
Quite the contrary. You ought to look like a lady. You ought to act like a lady.
Right.
By the way, that's how you're created. The reason you're so miserable is because you're fighting God.
Yep.
Let me just go ahead and say it.
Amen.
You may not like me and you may not ever come back, but you need to listen and your life will be much easier,
amen,
much more joyful.
Right.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Amen.
These youngins here, those youngins there, they need to learn this.
Amen.
Now.
That's right.
That youngin back there, they need to learn this now. Save them a whole bunch of heartache.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Heartbreak.
Amen.
This one up here, these men up here, they need to learn this.
Amen.
You are to provide, protect, love, and cherish your wife. You're not supposed to just live a selfish, old, mean, old, angry life and just treat them like yesterday's leftovers.
Amen.
By the way, is that how Christ treats you? Is that how Christ treats you? Then why do we think we can treat our wives like that?
Amen.
Did Christ say, get out of the way, Father, I'm going to do this Calvary thing my way? Then ladies, why do you keep doing that? God has a perfect plan. He made you. He made me.
Amen.
I'm telling you what. I don't have to tell you what homosexuality has done to our nation. But in essence, it's the same problem. It's rebellion against God's order. God's way is perfect. As for God, His way is perfect. That's why we have women preachers. That's why we have women leading churches. That's why we have men sitting there listening to a woman preach. Because the men are effeminate and the women are masculine. Why? Because they're in rebellion against God's word.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And it needs to be said.
Amen.
It's not ever going to get any better until we change it in our lives.
Amen.
We can't change the world. You can't change anybody. You have a hard enough time changing yourself. I do. This is more important than you think. Women were the ringleaders in promoting all of the charismatic, tongue-talking, healing, Pentecostal gibberish.
Amen.
They started all that. Why? Because we were rebellious.
Amen.
God never said women were inferior to men. They simply have a different role.
Amen.
Will you please listen to me? You're not inferior. You're not at all less than the man. Not at all.
Amen.
That's not what God ever said.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, it says that the woman is the glory of the man. Look in verse 7. Man indeed ought not to cover his head for as much. He is the image and glory. We men are the image and glory of God, and the women are the glory of man. That's not inferiority. That's glory.
Amen.
In other words, we should glorify God with our life. And the ladies, when you get married, you should glorify your husbands with your life, your loyalty, your trust, your help. And boy, it just makes him feel like he can take on hell with a squirt gun.
Amen.
We men, that's just the way we're made.
Yep.
We need cheerleaders. But I ain't going to do it. I ain't one. Remember, I'm not a lady.
Amen.
Praise God for that, right? I mean, have you seen them out there? Men cheerleaders? What's next? What's next? This is more important than you think. Quickly, I'm done. I'm not at all demeaning women, and you should know that. I've said that 100 times. But I'm telling you that men and women alike have got to get themselves in line.
Amen.
And teach your children.
Yes, sir.
Quickly, verse 19. There must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest unto you. This is more important than you think. Quickly, number one, because those who were out of their place were called heretics. Heresies. Heresy is blasphemy. Heresy is total apostasy from the Word of God. Heresy is dissent. Heresy is rebellion. Heresy is fallacy. Heresy is paganism. Heresy is schism. Heresy is division. Heresy is sin. And those who were out of their place were called heretics because they were practicing heresy. Listen, I don't know if you know Bible or not, but that is a very strong word.
Amen.
What God is saying when He says you are in heresy, you are living a heretical life. You know what the Bible says about the beast and the dragon in the book of Revelation? The mystery Babylon, the great whore, that her mouth is full of blasphemies. It's more important than you think.
Amen.
It's not just you doing what you want to do. It's you getting out of God's will, getting out of away from God's word, and it's God labeling you heretic. Now, you may not care, but if you know, if you care at all about God, if you love God at all, you don't want Him to label you heretic. You know why we have cults all over the world today? Heresy.
That's right. Amen.
You know what it means? They take Scripture out of context and they say, well, I like that, I like that, I don't like that. You know why we have 200 some odd versions of the Bible? Heresy.
Amen.
And God says, ladies, if you're not submissive to your husbands, men, if you're not leading your wives, you're just as bad. Wow, that's bad.
Amen.
I told you this is more important than you think.
Amen.
Those who refuse to believe the Bible, those who get out of their place, do what they want to do, they start all kinds of cults. God says you're just as bad. When you don't submit to your husband, when you don't lead your wife, and when you don't teach your children to do so.
Amen.
Now, then he says, it's more important than you think, because the Bible calls them heretics. And also, I'm done. Those who were out of their place in this church were cautioned, listen now, against even taking the Lord's Supper. The very next part of this chapter goes right into the Lord's Supper. And I always thought, well, this is, you know, one portion. And no, this is one chapter, all one thought. And Paul says, listen to me. Now, verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. He says, you better not be coming together with all of these heresies and these divisions and eating the Lord's Supper. That's communion, for those of you who don't understand what I'm talking about. That is the symbolism, that the church ordinance of the Lord's Supper, where you take of the bread symbolizing His broken body, where you drink of the fruit of the vine, not wine, but the fruit of the vine symbolizing His blood shed for our souls. And you do that as long until He comes again in remembrance of Him. It does not become His body in you. It is simply a symbol that we do in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. But listen to me, it is very important symbol that all people need to participate in. But the Bible warns those that are not in their place, don't even take it. Look what it says in verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this cup and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, still in the same chapter, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. When you're not submissive to the Word of God, and you're out of your place, and you to give it no thought, God says, you better not take of that bread and that cup.
Amen.
I wish I could make you understand what this means to Jesus. He sat down with His disciples the night that He was arrested. The night before He hung on the cross. And He broke that bread and He said, take, eat, this is my body. And He took that fruit of the vine, that juice, and He said, take, drink, this is my blood shed for the remission of sins. And He said, this do in remembrance of me. This do. He said, I want you to do this perpetually until I come again. That was sacred to Him. He said, I'm looking forward to the day where I'm going to eat with you once again in my Father's kingdom, in heaven. We're going to sit down, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to have, He's going to serve us once again that precious food. But right now, it means you and I have an opportunity to commune and fellowship with Him through the Spirit of God that's in our hearts. We're taking of that bread and that cup. And He says, but if you're not in your place, you better just leave it alone, because you're guilty of the body and the blood. It means you might as well go hang Him on the cross again.
Amen.
This is more important than you think.
Yeah, ma'am.
I told you this wasn't going to be a revival message, but listen to me. This will change Amen. Your life.
Amen.
Those who were out of their place were cautioned against taking. The man of God told them they were unworthy. Verse 29 says, "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Sickness and death, damnation meaning judgment, unworthy, sick and death. Well, I'm telling you what, God takes this stuff pretty seriously.
Amen.
Whether you do or not. There's a lot of sick Christians. Physically sick.
Amen.
Because they don't take the Bible seriously. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, this is more important than you think.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
You can laugh it off. You can sit there and do whatever you want to do and leave out of here and say, that preacher's crazy. But I didn't write this.
Amen.
I didn't write this. You listen. If you think God takes what Jesus did for you lightly, you are crazy. That was His only begotten Son.
Amen.
That was His own blood shed on that cross. That was His only Son, torn to shreds. For sinners.
Yes, sir.
Lousy, rebellious, evil sinners.
Yep.
Like me. And I don't want God to look down at me and say, you're guilty of putting Him back on the cross. If it was up to you, He'd go back to the cross. You're unworthy.
Yeah,
you're drinking to yourself judgment, damnation, and you better watch out. I might just make you pretty sick. I might even just kill you. Would God do that? He gave you life. Listen to me. You know, your daddy ever tell you, I brought you in this world. I'll take you out. Well, I'm telling you one thing. God did, and He can.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Oh, but that's not love. That's not love. I thought God is love. God is a consuming fire. And if you walk all over His Son, Jesus Christ, if you walk all over the blood of Jesus Christ, if you step all over what I'm talking about tonight, and you think it's a light thing, you better get right with God now.
Amen. Right.
It's not a light thing with God. It's more important than you think. As I studied this, I thought, wow.
Yes, sir.
Every time we have Lord's Supper, you know, I always want to search my heart, and you need to. But it's just, it's no different than when you go to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
It's no different when you read your Bible. It's communing with Christ. And if you're out of line in your life, if you're out of order, I'm not talking about the ones of you who got saved after. If too late, okay, it's too late. But you can teach your children, and you can walk with God from this point on. And you can, two wrongs don't make a right.
Amen.
I thank God for my wife. I thank God. And by the way, let me tell you this, none of this comes naturally to an old rotten sinner like me. None of this comes naturally to any of you.
Yes.
That's why you're getting all bowed up right now. That's why you just don't want to hear it anymore, because it doesn't come natural to you. But it's what God desires for you, and it's what's going to make your life finally have some joy and some peace. Your home will not be full of strife and anger. Your marriage will finally be at peace. Listen, I know it takes two. I understand some of you don't have the other half, but this, you still have Christ as your head. Walk with Christ. Submit yourself unto Him. Live with Him like you're supposed to live with Him. Let him be your head and you follow him. Don't take off the cover. Don't dishonor him. Don't take away his glory. Submit yourself to him. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Walk by faith. It's a big deal to God.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
It's a big deal to God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. You cannot drink of the devil's cup and the Lord's cup. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and table of devils. You cannot. That verse is in there for a reason. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I know I preached hard tonight. But Lord, I'm trying to get your people to see and understand how important it is. Lord, how real it is. Lord, the heresy, the apostasy in our world, especially in our country, the total rejection of God's order. Father, it's caused such a disaster. Lord, please, would you help us tonight? Start with me in my home. Would you please help us, Father, in our children's hearts, in our marriages, in our walk with you? Would you please help us, Father, to stay in our place? To be who we need to be. God, help these men, these young men, these boys, to understand, God, they are to be leaders, heads of their houses. God, these ladies, these young ladies, these girls, please, God, help them to understand that that's where their joy will be found. Oh, God, please speak to our hearts tonight. Oh, don't let Satan hinder what your spirit wants to do here tonight. I pray every one of these boys, these young girls and boys, Lord, they'd get on this altar, Father, and they'd beg you to not let them get out of your will, to not let them, Father, wander away from what you have for them in their lives. God, I pray for every woman, every man in here, God, to get on their face, to find an altar somewhere tonight, Lord, and Lord, to deal with what you've spoken to them about in their hearts. Lord, every one of us needs your help tonight. Heads are bowed now, eyes are closed. I'd ask you, no one looking around. We're going to have an invitation here in a minute. I want you to be honest with God. I need to get down on my knees, and I'm going to. It's not natural. We all want to do what we want to do. We all want to lead. We all want to be the leader and the chief. It's not natural to submit to our head. But that's where peace is found. Let's all stand to our feet. Piano's going to play here in just a few minutes. The altars are open. Boys and girls, those of you who understood enough about it, would you come? Men and women, you come. Ask God to help you. Be the man. Be the woman you need to be. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till your heart's broken. Don't wait till your life's been stepped all over. Do it now. Say, God, help me. Teach me to stay in my place. To be submissive to you. Come on, the piano's going to begin to play.